Look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
Good morning, good afternoon, how are you? Our great Bruce Jenkins, are you there, Bruce?
Yes, I thought you were saying, how are you to the general public? I'm doing good.
I'll say to everybody coming into the Peoria, to the Peoria Sports Complex, how the heck are you today? Everybody feels good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it takes a while to get to Peoria, doesn't it? When you get there, boy, what a garden spot.
Yeah, you know, they have a lot of fast food, let's put it that way. A lot of fast food, but I did a walk. You know, I like to do a few laps around the concourse every day just to, you know, get some exercise in. And I really took a look at the field. You know, it's wide open. There's not much. As you look over the berm in left field, you see, you know, some track condo housing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But actually, the field itself was okay. I thought, it's okay.
For people going down, for people who have gone down to spring training from the Bay Area before, they realize what a precious gem Scottsdale is. But if you haven't gone and you're planning to, Scottsdale is such a, it's really the best of all spring training sites. It's a nice, intimate-looking ballpark with great views, and you know, there's lots of places to eat and drink. And you go to most of these other places, aside from being a fair drive, there's not a whole lot out there.
No, not even close.
No.
For Scott, not even close. Giants have it made there at Scott, so that is the best place. You know, it's funny, and I appreciate your patience today, and I went much too long with Bob Kendrick, who's the president of the Negro League Baseball Museum.
Oh, yeah.
Great guy, and I love talking with him. But, Bruce, you know, the stories of the Negro Leagues are such rich stories, and they're almost mythical. And we're talking about Oscar Charleston, who was described as a player of Tris Speaker, Ty Cobb, Babe Ruth, all rolled up into one. And, you know, I love hearing the stories. I really do.
Yeah, you know, Josh Gibson hit the farthest ball ever, and Cool Papa Bill was the fastest runner anyone's ever seen. And who's to doubt that? I'm sure a lot of the stories get exaggerated, but there's a bit of romance to it. You know, at the time, you know, they were hard times, and meanwhile, this incredible baseball is taking place in the Negro Leagues. I would love to be able to go back in time and plop myself down in the stands anywhere and watch some of that.
Yeah, and Rube Foster started, this is the 100th anniversary of the Negro National League, and Rube Foster, of course, started it. He was put in the Hall of Fame eventually. But but Bob was talking about him, and, you know, he taught Christy Mathewson how to throw the screwball. You know, John McGraw used to sneak Rube Foster in to show him how to do it, and, you know, that kind of stuff, which doesn't surprise me. You know, these were great baseball players, and you wanted to have every edge you could get, but you just wouldn't let them on the field.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you just think of all the talent that started coming into the big leagues with Mays and Aaron and Frank Robinson and, you know, earlier with Jackie Robinson and Larry Doby. The players were obviously there, and it was great that they figured out a way to play and make a little bit of money despite the rampant and inexcusable segregation that was going on. But, you know, there's what's the name of the there's a great book that the word ship is in the title. Do you remember the book about the Negro Leagues called, well, We Are the Ship? I think that's what it is.
No, I don't.
Remember that book? A tremendous book about the Negro Leagues. And I try to catch any documentary that I can find about them. And it's just a really rich part of baseball history that should never be forgotten.
Well, I congratulate Major League Baseball. They kicked in $1 million to the Negro League Museum. To help perpetuate the things you're talking about. So
yeah,
good for baseball. You know, and just talking about it, I mean, I did see Satchel Paige pitch. I mean, he pitched in the Miami Marlins. You know, I was 10, 11, or 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there he was. They had a rocking chair in the bullpen for him. And I could remember, I swear to you, I can remember him walking to the mound very slowly. And a big gangly. I just have this picture in my mind of the white Marlins uniform, and here comes Satchel Paige in.
Oh my goodness, that's so great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great part of baseball, which brings me to this. Marvin Miller is going in, obviously, finally into the Hall of Fame. And there's a movement now to include Curt Flood as a Hall of Famer. Now, he didn't have the full career because after he took on the reserve clause, that was about the end of it for him. But you were here for Curt Flood, and you probably got to meet Flood. What do you think? The Hall of Famer, for what he took on in baseball and basically gave up his career, is there a spot for him?
Well, there is. I mean, and it really has to do with what he did, you know, on the labor front and changing things so significantly. As a player, you know, from his era, he was more like a sort of a Veda Pinson, Johnny Callison kind of guy. You know, a tremendous player. He made a few All-Star games, got a few MVP votes a couple of years. He was a 290 or something lifetime hitter. Had a couple 200 hit seasons. He'd be really a good player. I just think, you know, when you measure him, which we always do, you have to measure him against the players of his time. When you're talking about Aaron, Frank Robinson, Clemente, Al Kaline, you know, Mantle was there's just I think it's a different level. But based on his entire body of work, I think he's quite worthy.
Well, maybe more of the Buck O'Neill Award. You know, something.
Yeah.
And I understand what you're saying. Not the elite player of the elite elites, but giving up his career essentially to take on the reserve clause, and that lawsuit eventually he lost. But those seeds were planted for the arbitrator in 1975 to say reserve clause is gone and free agency is here. And without Curt Flood, that may not have happened so quickly.
Yeah, and he was I think he was 31, you know, when his last year with the Cardinals. He had a lot left. He never really had a bad season. He was very consistent with the Cardinals. So, yeah. That's all quite true.
You ever meet him?
I don't recall, not in any significant way. I mean, I was... I didn't cover any baseball until the 70s. So he was gone, and I don't recall meeting him in any other context. But I wish I had.
Yeah, great artist as well. A great artist.
Yeah,
as well.
Exactly.
Boy, interesting pitching going on down here, Bruce. And it's so early in spring training, and pitchers are always ahead of the hitters. But for whatever it's worth, the Giants starting pitching every time they come out there. It's two innings, and I'll see you later. And here comes Gausman today to try to continue that streak.
Yeah, you know, they're taking a chance on guys like Gausman and Smiley, who have been very good in the past. They've been kind of up and down, but, you know, maybe they're primed for a good year, which would be terrific. I mean, there's nothing that says they can't have a really solid rotation with Samardzija and Cueto in there, and who knows with all the other good young arms they have. So I think that's pretty promising, and it's obviously going to be really important because you're not figuring they're going to hit a lot of home runs or score a ton of runs. If they play defense and get good pitching, you know, they're halfway there to being a good club.
Yeah, and you know, Gausman is interesting to me, and I'm going to try to get my interview on with him when we're concluded. The professor, Ron Wotus, is going to jump on for a little while.
Okay.
Maybe I'll have time to get Gausman on. But, you know, when he was with Atlanta, Bruce, and I just said it earlier in the show, I mean, he had 10 starts. He went like 59 and two-thirds innings, which, come on, that's six innings a start. You know, he's old Hoss Radbourne. You know, six innings to start and had a good strikeout to walk ratio. Is 5-3 for the Braves, and then he lost it. Maybe all the analytics and the videotaping can get it back for him. And he's only 29, so he's someone who actually, if he's any good, he could stick around for a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's a fresh arm. I mean, he broke in 2013 and pitched for the Orioles and had some pretty workhorse seasons for them as a starter. So there's a lot of mileage there. But yeah, that Atlanta season in 2018 really really does stand out. And you know, if he looks good now, you know that the potential is there for him to get that back.
Yeah, he was very good. I mean, he was dominating,
yeah.
And then the Reds put him in the bullpen, and you know that played. speed because he's 97 and he had an off-speed pitch as a starter, so it played out of the bullpen. Well, the Padres are here today. We're here to see the Padres, and they may be better. I don't know. They have a manager again. You know, they've taken that leap like the Giants have in many ways of bringing in someone who's never been in the big leagues before. He was sort of an interim director of this and that with the Rangers, but they gave him an associate manager. That's the first time in baseball history. And this is like the College of Coaches, the Board of Coaches in 1962 with the Cubs. They brought in a different manager every 6 weeks. So they gave this guy, Tingler, he's got Dickerson, the bench coach, and he's got Skip Schumacher, who I thought was still playing. They got him as the associate manager, and the three of them are going to run the game. How about that?
Yeah, I think eventually the bench coach won't actually be in the stadium. He'll be on a bench in a park somewhere connecting with the manager. But, you know, aside from that, they gave him Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis. I mean, this is a really interesting team.
Yeah.
When those two guys are, that's as good as it gets on the left side of the infield. They got Profar from the A's, might start at second base. They got Hosmer. They got Tommy Pham coming over from Tampa Bay, where he was very good. Will Myers, I mean, I like the lineup a lot. I think they've got an edge on the Giants for sure.
Yeah, they got this. Grisham is leading off. He's a left-handed hitter, a young kid in center field. Zach Davies is here. Luke Casey. Paddock is the big kid. The restraints are off. Restrictions are off of him. And Lamette, who is good. So we'll see. We'll see. And they always have a bullpen. They always got a bullpen. They always have. You don't want to get in a bullpen game with these guys.
And they've got a couple of young pitchers that are really highly regarded, like top 15 in the country, in the bigs. Mackenzie Gore is a lefty, Luis Patino is a righty. Those guys are pretty electric from everything we've heard, so we might see them at some point.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one today. Machado is in there, and the Giants have their first four or five, the veterans in the lineup today, too. So I'm looking forward to it. All right, well, enjoy it. Enjoy Sunday. Thanks for your patience today. I know I went a little longer with Bob Kendrick, but we started in with the Oscar Charleston stories, and I couldn't stop. That was it.
I'm lucky I got on at all. That's good work, Marty.
All right. Thanks, Bruce.
You bet. Take care.
Have a good afternoon. All right. We'll take a break. More coming up. The professor is going to join us, Ron Wotus, the third base coach of the Giants. Our first venture with the professor here in 2020. We'll do that when we come back right after this.